Say Happy New Year. It is the Jewish New Year. 5786. So 5786. And by the way, we're still here. You know, the 23rd didn't happen, did it? That's why you don't put dates when God's coming back. Only one knows. Only the Father knows when He's returning. Doesn't mean we don't need to be ready. We need to be prepared each and every day. But that's why we don't won't do that. You can still look at that as, you know, God rested on the seventh day. You know, a year's as a thousand years. A day is as a thousand years. You know, we got 5786. So we still may have 214 years to go. We got to get through 6,000, you know, for that thousand-year millennial period. So there's lots of ways you can look at it. But just be ready. You know, the church needs to be ready. You know, Jesus' church needs to be ready. I wanted to look a little bit where it is today. You know, are we fulfilling what God has really called us to do? Is the church really being what the church is? And I think churches have, in today, have failed in a lot of ways. And churches have trouble with unification. Churches have trouble with God's word. Churches have trouble speaking the truth. And they have trouble at understanding Christ is the head of the church. You know, I'm not the head of Bentonwood Church. Joel Osteen's not the head of his church. David Jeremiah is not the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. Got to keep that in mind. Tell a story about a man died and met St. Peter at the gate. And Peter asked, "Would you like a tour?" He said, "Well, sure." So Peter led him down a long hall with many doors. They stopped at the first door, and Peter opened it and said, with a whisper, said, "These are the Pentecostals." And he quietly closed the door and went to the next one. And as he opened up that door, Peter whispered again, "Here are the Baptists." And again, he quietly closed the door, and this went on door after door. The man was confused, and finally, Peter whispered, "This is the last one I'm going to show you." And he quietly opened the last door and whispered, "Here are some non-denominationalists." So Peter shut the last door and led the men back to the pearly gates. And he asked Peter, "Why did you have to whisper?" And Peter replied, "Because each one of them thinks they're the only ones here." We get hung up on denominations sometimes, and there may be disagreements on doctrine, and doctrine's critical. We need to have the same beliefs. We need to have the proper beliefs, but there's only one church, and it's the people that belong to Jesus. That's the church. It's the church that is alive, the church that's fruitful, the church that's growing in Christ, and Jesus is the head of the church. I do think we see a lot of dead churches, even if on the appearance side it looks like they're thriving. I think we see a lot that aren't living. Churches that aren't dedicated to the Word of God. I've been places where, you know, you have the message and scripture's barely given at all, if at all. Sometimes they don't even turn to the Bible and reference a scripture in their message. I don't think you can have church without scripture. If you don't, you're just talking about yourself. And there tend to be a lot of eyes in those messages. You need to have an excited church. People excited to be here, you know, not looking out the window until it's time to go, waiting for time to go by, being happy you made it through another couple of hours, did your duty. Until next week, you know, we have that excitement here, I feel. It wasn't always here, if I'm being honest. It wasn't always here, but it's here now. I think I see people that's anxious and enjoys coming, and wants to be here. Visits with one another, happy to be around each other. And I hope Sunday's a day you look forward to being here, to know that it's time to worship the Lord and be with God's people. I don't really see anyone asleep during the message. I do look out. I see eyes. I don't really see anybody asleep, but I don't have on my glasses where I can see real far either. I can see up close, but farther away I need my glasses. So it's either that or you've learned to sleep with your eyes open. You know people that can have their eyes open, but they're not really there. They're kind of dozing out. You've achieved that if that's the case. But you know, church has to be spiritual. I think the Holy Spirit must have control. I think you have to be able to sense and feel the Holy Spirit around you. Spirit-filled church is alive. Like a dead church has little spirit in it. There's little feeling of the presence of God. It may have friends, it may have things you can get together and do things with, but does it have the Spirit of God in it? I think messages have to tell the truth. Have substance, not watered down so we don't offend anybody. You know, as we talked a couple weeks ago, knowing the truth and accepting it will set you free. There's freedom in the truth. If you're never told it, and you continue to live out the sinful desires you have, where does that get you? Doesn't get you salvation. Doesn't get you to heaven. Doesn't get you an abundant life here. It allows you to just continue in a life that's not acceptable to Christ. You can stay there, but it's not acceptable. The church doesn't need to condone it, need to promote it and let it happen. They need to tell the truth. The Bible says that God's word is offensive. It does offend people because they don't like being told what they're doing is wrong, is a sin. Everybody needs their toes stepped on every now and then. You know, growth is part of a sign, but growth isn't the whole picture. I think spiritual growth is necessary for every single person. We need to be mature Christians. You know, numbers growth, as far as the size, I let God take care of that. I'll take care of that because if we're where we're supposed to be, if we're spiritually strong, if we're telling others about Christ, that'll make a difference. If you're representing Christ, showing something that somebody else wants, they'll come. We want to draw them, but we have to draw them through you. You are the church. Then there's laziness. People sit back at a dead church. There's a lot of places at big churches you can just get lost. You don't have to do anything. It's easy to get lost there, unnoticed. Sometimes we let someone else do it. I'm content just sitting here. God requires us to exercise our faith. You know, we're saved unto good works. We're supposed to do things with the salvation we've received. We're supposed to do things for God. It's not a sit in the pew job. He wants us to be active for the body of Christ. That's for everyone here. And like I said, we have that. Whether it's in teaching or music or cleaning or administration or sending cards or decorating or even praying. Prayer warriors are needed. Everybody has something they can do. Has a job they can do. But we need to be using those things. Let's start out with Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. It says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. There's only one body of Christ. Believers are that body. That's all believers who've placed their faith in Jesus Christ and His work on the cross. Nothing we've earned. We just accept Jesus. We're joined to His DNA becomes part of us. His Spirit becomes part of us. Because there's only one body. That's the church, the believers. There's only one Spirit. I will say there's only one big S, capital S Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit given to those in Christ. There are other small spirits, but the only one that can truly change us to be like God is the Holy Spirit. You know, it's God given to us as a deposit guaranteeing an eternal life to come, a life spent with Him. A Spirit that leads us and guides us and comforts us. As Brady just found this week. Comfort comes from the Spirit. There is only one hope. That's in Jesus. Jesus is the only way. It's not Buddha. It's not any of the others. Confucius. Not any of the others. Because Jesus says so. He says, I'm the only way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No other name in which people can be saved. It's only under Jesus. Only one Lord. It can only be one ruler in your life. The Lord you must submit your life to. He has to be in control. If He's not, He's not Lord. We have to give ourselves up to Him. One faith. We're saved. Through faith. By faith. Due to God's grace. Faith in Christ alone, not in ourselves what we can do or think we can do. It's in Christ alone and what He did. It's the channel through which we come to know God. God reveals Himself to us. We believe, we trust. We have that faith. It's a faith. Is a thing in our life that gets us through everything else. Struggles and trials. Faith will get us through those. Our trust in God gets us through those. One baptism. I'm sure I get some arguments on it. The main baptism. There's one main baptism. That's baptism by the Holy Spirit. When you come to really know God, to really know Him, start that relationship, to accept what He's done for you, the gift that He's done for you. You're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, which stamps you as His. You're marked, you're His. And it allows you to be changed and be conformed in His image. Because the Spirit will change you. Water baptism comes. Now, I'm not saying water baptism is not important, because I believe it is. But it's better if it comes after you accept Him. Otherwise, you're getting wet. Water baptism comes after you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and He's indwelling in you. It's a sign to others. It might be your first testimony to others, like, look, I want to follow Christ. I want to be recognized as following him. I want the death, burial, resurrection. I want to be identified with Jesus. It also means you're committed. You're taking a stance. You're committed to Christ, to doing what he's asked you to do. And we have one God and Father of all, over, through, and all, and in all who become the children of God. We are the same. We are one family. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Slide down a little bit. Ephesians 4, 20 to 32. He's talking about not being like Gentiles, not being like the others. But he says, that, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. You know, we're to be different. God's church, God's family is different. You're changed. You're made new. You're a new creation. You've been created to be like God in righteousness and holiness, to speak the truth of God, to absorb the fruit of the Spirit, all those things that make us God-like qualities and characteristics. Yeah, we still sin. We're not perfect. Never will be. Some believe you can. I don't. I don't believe we'll ever be perfect in this lifetime. But we need to strive for it. We need to strive for being mature. You know, and part of the church has got to do those things. Put off those things that we're not supposed to have. Put on the things that we're supposed to be. You know, and do nots. Got a lot of do nots in there. Things we're not supposed to do. Do we still do them? Do not. And then we get rid of the bottom. We get rid. You know, don't do these things, but get rid of these things. There's a whole list of things to get rid of. Sometimes we just keep grabbing on. Won't let them go. God's word says to get rid of them. Get rid of those things. William Booth was the, if you don't know William Booth, he was the founder of the Salvation Army. And he said, and I actually said it in the 1800s, so it's a little dated, but I think it still applies. He said, the chief danger that confronts the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell. What do we see not just in the world without Christ, but in churches who just profess him? We see religion, but we don't see spirit. We see worship of pastors. We see worship of music. We see worship of programs. And unfortunately, I think a lot of pastors want to keep it that way by not speaking the whole truth. We see Christianity without Christ. Just check the box. Christianity means you're following Christ. That's the definition. You're a Christian. You're a follower of Christ. People don't know what that even means anymore. Forgiveness without repentance. It's just like he's a forgiven God. If you don't feel bad about what you did, you're really not seeking forgiveness. If you think what you did's okay, you're not seeking forgiveness. There's got to be repentance for sin, repentance for the things we do wrong. It's not forgiveness, just a blank forgiveness. There has to be repentance, has to be a change of heart. Salvation without having to change. Salvation without regeneration. You say, you know, so many times God made me who I am. God loves me just as I am. But God does say, come as you are, but don't stay that way. We have to change. We think we know pretty a lot. I think we know a lot. Salvation isn't what you know, it's who you know. It has to be Jesus. Of course, we have politics and schools and life without God. You know, we got to leave him out of those things. You know, those are other things that doesn't apply to God. Those are just world stuff. We need to contain him to the church. Showing heaven without speaking of hell. Doing a disservice to people if they don't know about judgment. You know, we see it today. God and his word applies to everything we have in our life, though. You know, many won't talk about politics. They keep it separate from God. But God is in politics. God's word tells how politics is supposed to be. How politicians are supposed to handle themselves. How leadership are supposed to handle themselves. God's word is there. Many don't talk about sin. Many won't talk about repentance. Many won't talk about hell and judgment. Many don't talk about things happening today. Just stick to the basics of God's word. Well, the basics are good, but you need to apply it to everything. In our whole life, in all parts of our life. We need to grow into spiritual maturity. You know, we know a couple of ladies. They've been here. They go to different churches. They don't go together. They go to two other different churches. They listened to the message a couple of weeks ago. And we talked about God's word and it being not hate speech. And talked about Charlie Kirk and... You know, a chat tags. By the way, you know a tax on Charlie Kirk. You know what Kirk's name means? The name Kirk, it means church. The attacks have been on the church. Where they attack the kids in the church praying. They attack churches. They're attacking. It's a good and evil battle. It's a battle of God and Satan. But one said, well, we would never hear that in our church. The other one shook her head. No, not ours either. They only stick to just what the Bible verse says. We need to apply them. The Bible's for today. For me and you and how we live. It's a guide for life, not just then, not just in AD 70, not just in 100. It's a guide for now and in the future. It doesn't get out of date. It's for us. It's to use in our daily life. By the way, those two said this is the only place they felt the Holy Spirit. Don't feel it at your church. If you don't, you need to find one. Charles Spurgeon got a lot of sayings. He said, a time will come when instead of shepherds feeding the sheep, the church will have clowns entertaining the goats. Sometimes I don't know if people know what an altar is anymore. That they only see an entertainment stage that they come into. So is the church being obedient to God's word? Is the church being obedient to God's call? I think the true church is yes. I think the true church is obedient to God's call. True churches, it's giving God's word. It's doing things. It's exercising faith that you can feel the Holy Spirit in. But I'm afraid that's not happening to all self-proclaimed churches. I think we talked about a little bit down, well, your granddaughter. You know, there's a young movement. It started a few years ago. We don't hear about it, but I think it's growing. You know, just Charlie Kirk, and there's others that go on campuses talking to people. You know, he talked about some political things, but he talked about Jesus Christ as well. And there's others that talk about Jesus when they meet with these kids, and they have a conversation, or try to. But the word's getting out. People are coming more and more to Christ. The young people are. You're not going to hear about it, but I believe they truly are. So we're going to have an invitation in just a minute. I want to finish with 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 to 17. 2 Corinthians 2, 14 to 17. Allergy season winds down, hopefully. But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are an aroma that brings death, to the other an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, as those sent from God. Kind of got a kick out of that. I just wondered how you smell today. How do you smell to others? You smell really good? Or do some people smell a little stink when you walk by? You know, you're an example. You're sent by God to speak the word of God in truth. Some will like it, some won't. We're just called to go and share. You know, can people smell you, or is there no odor at all? You don't have an odor, that's not good. You need to smell one way or the other, like the church in Revelation. You need to either be hot or cold. Don't be lukewarm. Lukewarm will get you spit out of God's mouth. Be hot or cold. Be useful. Have a smell. Draw attention. Have a sweet aroma for God. Put on the stuff God asks you to put on. Put off the stuff God asks you to put off. Get rid of those things that hinder you as a church, because you are the church. Each one of you are the church. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your Spirit. Lord, I praise you that visitors can sense your spirit here. Lord, something we already know. We thank you that visitors see it as well. They feel the love in this church, the spirit in this church. They always comment about the friendliness. So I thank you for a people that exercise their faith, Lord. Do the little things around the church, but also are welcoming and loving as you would have us to be. Lord, help us be that sweet aroma to you by sharing your word, sharing what you do for us. Lord, just mature us as Christians, Lord. Keep us growing. We grow our whole entire life. You're constantly sanctifying us, making us more like you. So, Father, that's what we ask, to be made more like you. But we ask in return that we can be a sweet smell to you, spreading the word of God, spreading Jesus. Lord, we pray for all of our churches that we pray for the true ones, Lord, and we pray for the ones that aren't, that you would change them, Father, that they would put off and put on and get rid of things that make them not to be what you want them to be. Lord, we thank you for the youth that are coming up, that you're drawing to have a revival in our land. Lord, we thank you for them. We won't hear, but where they're there, we praise you for that. We're just thankful for you. Lord, we're thankful for the Spirit. Thankful that you guide and direct us and lead us each and every day. And your word leads us and guides us and can be used in everyday world and all the things we do. Father, we just praise you. We glorify you for who you are. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.